Way God works. We began this, I think, in the second week of June, somewhere around there, and we've been continuing with this. How many gifts of the Holy Spirit are there? Nine. All right. What kind of categories can you break those gifts into? Power, speaking, and revealing. All right? So there's nine gifts, three by three. That speaks of divinity and perfection. Because everything God does is branded with a three. All right? And what are some of these gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay, tongues and interpretation. Gifts of healing. What else? Discerning of spirits. Prophecy. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Two more. Working of miracles. And one more. Starts with an F. Ends with an H. Faith. Faith. All right. See, I got to make sure that I'm teaching okay. So there's nine gifts. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they could be categorized in three different categories. Power, speaking, and revealing. All right. And they're gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who are they available to? Everybody. All right. You ready to get into something good tonight? Okay, we're going to talk about how we can receive. You know, it's good to categorize. It's good to identify these gifts, but I want to receive them. I want to walk in them, amen? And we can. And I'm going to share that with you tonight. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You say, well, what about chapter 13? Well, we're going to get to that. You know, it's no, there. Chapter 13, which is the love chapter, is right in there in between the gifts of 12 and 14. And there's a reason for that. And we're going to get into that a little bit too. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, that is, interpret the divine will and purpose, inspired preaching and teaching. So what does he say to eagerly pursue, to go after? Number one is love. Okay? Then number two is gifts. But there are too many people that get those turned around. They go after the gifts first and love second. But that's not how God designed it. All right? Your motive for operating in these gifts should be love for God and love for people. You should be motivated by love. Why did God give his son? For God so loved the world that he what? Yeah, I said it backwards. He loved the world, and it was his love that caused him to give the greatest gift. Love was the motive, all right? He was thinking of us. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. And so he tells us to seek, to pursue these gifts, okay? What does that word pursue mean? It means to ensue, to follow. It means to press forward. It means given to. Now, it's a combination of words, okay? The first word means to pursue, to follow. The second word, which is diakonos, it means a waiter, or an attendant, or to run errands, or for a Christian teacher, or a servant, or a minister. So if you're actively seeking to serve, then you're a good candidate for these gifts. Because these gifts are looking for someone who has a desire to serve others. Because the gifts, remember, are for everyone to profit from. So if you want to get these gifts, you have to have a desire to serve others. You have to be actively involved in serving others. And the more you're serving others, the greater potential there is for the gifts to manifest themselves. Hallelujah. That is powerful. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to what? To serve. To give my life a ransom for many. He had the greatest operation of the gifts because, of course, he had the Spirit without measure. Now, we as individuals have a measure of the Spirit, but as the body of Christ, the whole entire body has the Spirit without measure, but not one individual. Only Jesus, as one individual, had the Spirit without measure. But we have a measure. Amen? We couldn't handle the whole Spirit. God gives it to us in part. Remember, he says it's like a down payment. We've received the down payment of the Spirit. Imagine what it is when we get the full price. Woo! You're going to need a glorified bodily just to handle it. Hallelujah. So he wants us to pursue. Now, pursuing the gift means you pursue the giver. Oh, give me the gifts, give me the gifts. No, if you get to know the giver, the gifts come with the giver. So pursue the giver, not the gifts. Lester Summerall said this, the Lord Jesus Christ wants his church to receive the maximum of his love and of his gifts. There is no record in the book of Acts where the gifts of the Holy Spirit were out of commission. There's no expiration date. There are some people that will say the gifts went out with the apostles. But that's not true. If God is still saving people, then he is still giving gifts to the body. If he hasn't stopped saving people, then the gifts haven't stopped either. Because the gifts are for the benefit of the body so that people can benefit. So he wants people saved, so the gifts are going to operate because they help us get people saved. It's powerful. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. Excuse me. Acts 2 and 39. I want you to see something here. Peter was talking on the day of Pentecost, and the crowd of 3,000 people, they said, what must we do? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized and, accept the will of God. And then he says in verse 39, for the promise, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, is to you and for you and your children and to all and for all that are far away, even as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. Does that speak of an end of the gift of the Holy Spirit? For you, for your children, for all who are far off, and for as many as the Lord God are called. Is God still calling people into his kingdom today? Then the gifts are still applicable for today. They haven't died out with the last apostle, because there are still apostles today. And it is up to us. See, we have to pursue these gifts. We have to have an intense desire. We have to seek these gifts. We have to seek God with all our heart, or you'll never get them. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those are the ones that get filled, right? You ever see a hungry person? When you go to McDonald's and you put your order in and you have to wait 15 minutes, just keep smiling and looking forward, and nobody know I'll be talking about you. You know, you're used to going to McDonald's or whatever and getting it fast, right? And when you don't get your food fast, you start having an attitude. What's taking them so long? I'm hungry. See, hungry people have an attitude. They have an attitude that they want their food and they want it now. And that's how we have to be with the gifts. When we come to church, we need to be hungry. God, what are you going to do today? God, how can you use me today? God, I want to find someone that I can serve today. You've got to come to church with the attitude that you're going to serve, that you're ready, and that you're ready to hook up and to plug in and ready to go. That's the kind of attitude. Those people are going to have the gifts operating in them. The gifts of the Spirit are not delivered to complacent people. Well, God will do whatever he wants to do. Really? Thank God the woman with the issue of blood didn't think that way. She went after it, didn't she? She had to make her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. But you know what? She was willing to do it, and she did, and that's what got a miracle. Now, everybody was trying to touch Jesus, but she was the one she pressed through. Okay? These gifts, now this is Lester Summerall, okay? This isn't me. These gifts are not rocking chair gifts. They are battlefront gifts. They're for people who are on the front lines, who are involved in the action, who are taking ground, who are going after the things of God, who are occupying until he comes. That's what these gifts are for. You've got to develop, or he said, spiritual power doesn't come easy. It takes an investment sometimes of time. Jesus, before he made any major decision in his ministry, he often prayed all night and ministered all day. There were a lot of times when he got away by himself and he prayed all night. That was his investment. But look at the power that it produced. You want more of God? Okay. Then God's going to say, okay, I want more of you. I want to see you at the throne longer. I want you to sit at my feet longer. There's an exchange. If you want the power, he'll give it to you, but you got to go after it. You got to seek it. You got to pursue it. You got to follow after it. You've got to develop a craving and a determination that you're going to receive. I am coming to get my miracle, and I am not leaving without it. Isn't that what Jacob did? I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. They wrestled all night long. I'm going to hang on until I get it. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have for the gifts, for us to experience the maximum. I like the maximum. Don't give me half a cup, fill it to the brim. I like the maximum that it can hold. So you got to crave these gifts. So how do we receive these gifts? I'm going to give you four simple ways to receive these gifts. Anybody can receive them. Say, I'm a receiver. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, he says, now about spiritual gifts, brethren, or these special endowments of supernatural energy. How many want a special endowment of supernatural energy? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be misinformed. So step number one in receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit is you got to get some knowledge. Do you realize that you cannot operate beyond your knowledge of the Word of God? Your faith will not operate beyond your knowledge of God's will. So if there's an area that you don't know what God's will is, you can't operate in it. Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word. And we've been giving you some knowledge of the gifts. We've identified the gifts. We've categorized the gifts. We've give you examples of the gifts so you have the knowledge. Step one is already done. You're already a quarter, you're already 25%. You already got a 25% on your exam, and the exam's not over. You've already passed with 25%. Matthew 4:23 said, Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. The first thing that Jesus did was he taught. Why? He had to build people's faith. Teaching came first. He had to build people's faith. Then came the preaching. The faith that was built, he inspired them to action. Preaching is inspirational. Preaching gets you motivated. Preaching is exciting. Then the healing took place. Then the demonstration of the power. First the teaching, then the preaching, then the action. Jesus taught, he preached, he healed. Okay? Lester Summerall said this, if you're trying to drink water out of an empty well, you'll end up with dirt. So if you want to draw from the well, there's got to be something in the well, right? If you want to draw on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you got to put word and spirit in. When your car, when one of the gauges is on E, what do you need to do? You need to fill it up, right? Or you need to put something in. Otherwise, you're not going to get too far. And so many Christians, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, psalms and hymns, and speaking that's currently and ongoing, right? That's the way you get filled. And the translation of that word, it's be being filled. There are many times, Acts 2, they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, the same group got filled again. We got to keep ourselves full of the knowledge of God, of the Word of God, and the Spirit. Okay? Number two, in receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we already read it. You got to receive the promise. Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Jesus told his disciples, he said, wait in Jerusalem until the promise of my Father, or until you be endued with power from on high. Notice what Acts 2 says. Let's start with verse 37. Okay? Verse 37. Now when they heard this, okay, Peter had just preached. He preached the word. His text was Joel 2:28. He preached a message on how this was that. The title of his message was, this is that. And he got up and he preached, okay? And there was such power with his preaching because he had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. They were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Notice, Peter didn't have to give an altar call. They asked, what should they do? I want an altar call where I don't have to give it. People just say, what do I need to do? That was such a powerful message. It got right to their heart. Here's what Peter said, verse 38. Peter answered them, repent. Change your views, your purpose to accept the will of God, and in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and release from your sins. And what? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Verse 39. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children, and to and for all that are far away, even as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. So step number two is you got to receive the promise. You've got to receive the promise. The Bible says about Abraham, he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Didn't say he was good enough. It simply said that he believed God. He received the promise. He accepted what God said about him. You're going to be a father of many nations. He was talking to a man who didn't even have one child. He accepted the promise. That's all he did. He couldn't do anything else but accept the promise. He believed it to be true, and he accepted it for himself. He took ownership of the promise. For the promise, you've got to take ownership of the promise. You've got to accept the promise. You've got to receive the promise. Say, this promise is mine. It belongs to me. I have a right to have it. If you were to come to the reading of my will, and I put you all in my will, once that will is read, and you know what belongs to you, what's stopping you from getting what's yours? If you knew that I put you in my will, and you read the will, you were informed, you had the knowledge of the will, there's nothing, you have a legal right. That will is a legal document that gives you the right to claim what has been given to you. That's what you got to do. You want to receive the gifts, you got to receive the promise. You got to believe the promise. You got to receive it. You got to take ownership of it. It's yours. It's mine. Okay? Number three, you can receive the revelation of the gifts. Okay? Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Lord, just help me get all this out like you want it to get out. Glory be to God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. He's talking about the Apostle Paul, and he said, but when he who had chosen and set me apart before I was born and had called me by his grace saw fit and was pleased to reveal or to unveil or to disclose his son within me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles. As the glad tidings, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood. I did not consult or counsel with any frail human being or communicate with anyone. What did he do? Nor did I even go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles of Christ before I was. But I went away and retired into Arabia. And afterward, I came back again to Damascus. 3 years later, verse 18, I did go up to Jerusalem to become personally acquainted with Cephas, or Peter, and remain with him for 15 days. Verse 19, but I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the brother of our Lord. And he says, now what I am telling you is the truth. I write it as if I were standing before the bar of God. I do not lie. Where did Paul get the information to write the epistles, half of the New Testament? Where did he get that information? He got it through revelation. God showed him. He tells the story. He says, I know of a man, whether in the body or out of the body, who was caught up to the third heaven, who was given the abundance of revelations. See, another way that you could receive the gifts is by revelation. There were people in foreign countries who reported operating in the gifts, but they were never taught by any man, but they were taught by the teacher, amen? The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You don't need any man to teach you, but really the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And see, some things are caught better than taught. You could be in a service And there could be an anointing, a flow of God's power, and God just downloads something to you. In other words, he just shows you something. You have understanding about something that you didn't know before. That's called a revelation. How many know the story of Peter? Jesus came to his disciples and said, "Who do the men say that I am?" "Oh, you're Jeremiah, you're Isaiah, you're Elijah, some of the other prophets." But then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And without thinking, Peter, who was uneducated, he was a fisherman, he spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? "My Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Peter didn't know that, but in that moment, it was revealed to him. Did you know that the Holy Spirit will bring you into all truth? He'll show you things to come. He'll lead and guide you. And he can reveal to you. Okay? So you can receive the gifts by having knowledge, being taught the word, receiving the promise, because it's yours, it belongs to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Then you can receive a revelation. Okay? Paul received a revelation that we use his, you know, this all this stuff about in the New Testament, it was revealed to him, to the churches and all that stuff. Then fourthly, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 14. Notice what Paul told to Timothy. He said, "Do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the elders," what? "Laid their hands on them." Why do we lay hands on ministers in ordination services? Because to impart the gift. So the gift can be imparted by simply the laying on of hands. When they needed people in the early church to wait on tables, because the apostles, everybody, the people were being neglected, and it was crazy. You're talking about anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 people all converged at once. All right? And they said, "Choose you out among you 7 men who are" what? "Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, that we may put in charge of this work." And so the people knew what to look for. They sought men who had these qualities or characteristics. It wasn't a popularity contest, it was a spiritual contest. These had to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and of a good report. So they had to be honorable, integrity, all those things. And when they chose the 7, what did they do? They laid their hands on them. I bet when they laid their hands on them, they got equipped to serve in this new area. The equipping came through the laying on of hands. Oftentimes, when the apostles would travel, they would lay hands on people to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. There's an impartation that takes place with the laying on of hands. That's why the Bible says, "Lay hands on no man suddenly." Laying on of hands is not a free-for-all, because there's a specific purpose for why we lay hands on people. To impart a gift, to set apart, to instill in an office. But see, with an office comes gifts. You need gifts to serve in the office, right? You need the power to function in the position. A position with no power, what's the use? You know, if a policeman had no authority to stop a vehicle, what's the point? He has that authority backing him up, though. That's what the impartation is for. So it can come from the laying on of hands. All right? And then there's actually number 5. I said 4, but there's 5. You've got to desire the gifts. Okay? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 28. Now God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators, speakers in different tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have the power of performing miracles? Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Now, do all interpret? Now, they're talking about offices and gifts, okay? Not the everyday use of tongues. Some people take this and say, see, God says that not all of us are going to speak in tongues. No, the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit will result in speaking in tongues. Look at verse 31. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best, the higher gifts, and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better and far the highest above them all. What's a more excellent way? The way of love. The way of love. Oh, you know, it doesn't matter how many gifts you operate, how much love do you have? 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass. Though I give all my stuff to the poor, but if I have not love, what does it profit me? So, five ways that you can receive, right now the gifts. You can gain access to the operation. When do they operate? We don't necessarily know when, because they operate as the Holy Spirit wills, not us. We just yield to them when they're in operation. All right? You've got to have knowledge. You've got to be taught. You've got to receive the promise. You've got to receive a revelation. You could get it through the laying on of hands and just by your sheer desire. I'm going after you, God. Do you realize God rewards those who diligently, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who have faith, you got to believe he is and that he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Are you a diligent seeker of God? Do you pursue God? Are you pursuing righteousness? Are you pursuing the giver? So you do those five things and there's going to be an increase in the operation of the gifts in your life. You're going to have more wow moments. How many want a wow moment? People say, what happened in church today? And you just say, wow. Wow. I mean, there were services in Tulsa. We would be falling on the floor laughing. People would be out in the lobby laughing. People would be walking to their cars laughing. Drunk in the Holy Ghost. Just so full of God. I mean, I saw Brother Hagin would walk by and the whole row would fall down. He would just walk by and it'd be like dominoes. It'd be like poof. Just like that. We all fall down. And see, this is what we got to walk in as believers. We got to walk in the power. It's not about how good you are. It has nothing to do with your good works. But it has everything to do with your faith, your belief in God. You're willing to accept what God says about you no matter what. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I can do what this book says I can do. I can have what this book says I can have. I can be what this book says I can be. And when you have that attitude, the gifts will look for avenues to operate in your life. And when you have a desire to serve others, because Paul often talked about He'd rather prophesy than speak in tongues so that everybody could get edified. He was looking for the complete edification of the whole. He said, I'd rather speak 10 words of prophecy versus 10,000 words in tongues. Because prophecy benefits the whole. But now if someone interprets the tongues, it's equal to prophecy. They're the same. Tongues and interpretation equal prophecy because the whole gets edified. Proverbs 15:9 says, God loves those who pursue righteousness. God loves those. What do you think happens with people whom God loves? When you're pursuing righteousness, when you're following after righteousness, he says, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's what you got to do. When he looked for a leader for his nation, he looked for someone who had a heart after God. He looked for someone who had a heart, not the look, but the heart. If you've got the heart, it'll change your looks. It'll make you the most, with the right heart, it'll make you the most beautiful person in the world. God looks to your heart. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11. I call this, pursue the magnificent seven. He said, but as for you, O man of God, as for you, O woman of God, flee from these things. He lists the things that we're supposed to flee from prior in the verses before. He says, flee from these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, that is right standing with God and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and Christ-likeness, faith, love, steadfastness or patience, and gentle-heartedness. So as you flee from the things of the flesh and you pursue the things of God, that's what we got to go after. That's what God's talking about. Those are the things that you got to pursue. And notice, then he says, fight the good fight. So when you're following after righteousness and godliness and faith, you're pursuing these things, you're going to be equipped to win the fight. Hallelujah. You'll be protected. Now that you know the five things that you can do to receive the gifts, let's go back and talk a little bit about chapter 13. And if you want to get the maximum gifts, you got to have the maximum love for God and for people. All right? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 7. And the Amplified really brings it out powerfully. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end and the culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. Verse 8. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Practice hospitality to one another, that is, those of the household of faith. Be hospitable, that is, be a lover of strangers. With brotherly affection for the unknown guests, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come your way, who are of Christ's body. and in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously without complaining. Why do they have to visit me now? Why do they have to come now? Why do they have to stay so long? What are you doing? You better do a little heart checkup on your love. You're getting off track. Gifts operate in an atmosphere of love. Why do you give a birthday gift? Because you love the person. Why do you give a Christmas gift? Because you love them. Gifts are given in an atmosphere of love. The more love we have, the more gifts there are. Or the greater the gifts that are given when there's love. It could be the little smallest thing, but when it's done in love, oh, I just love this. This is so wonderful. Love, it's like the frosting on the cake. It's like the cherry on top. Above all, love others deeply. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. 1 Timothy 1:5. Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love, which springs from a pure heart, a good, clear conscience, and sincere or unfeigned faith. Is that the kind of love you have? Clear conscience, sincere, and a pure heart. No one wants to drink impure water, do they? When a sewer line breaks, and if you're on city water and you got to boil the water, that's not too fun. I like clean water to drink. Well, so God likes a clean heart to operate in. He's pure and holy. And he doesn't mix with unholiness too well. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 16. For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. I call it this: love is the thread of the garment of gifts. Love is the thread. If you got no thread, you got no garment. Without the garment is made out of the thread. Love is the thread of the garment of gifts, or the gift garment. All right? See, the gifts are an endowment. They come on you to perform things, to do things, to say things, to see things. But it works within the framework of love. And when people get out of love, the gifts will certainly diminish in operation. But the gifts thrive in an atmosphere of love. And then finally, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And verse 12. He says, so it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments or gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church. You know, if you're striving for other people to be built up, that's love, because love puts others first. Love doesn't boast about the things wrong done to it. Love upholds under anything. You're putting others first. You're believing the best. That's what's going to make the difference. Okay? Strive to excel and to abound in ways that will build up the church. Not so that you can get the glory, but so that the church can be built up. And that's the true function of the gifts. So, how to receive the gifts? Have knowledge, be taught, receive the promise, receive a revelation, get it through the laying on of hands, desire the gifts, and really strive to walk in love. And you will create an atmosphere where the gifts will just flourish. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, just strengthen him right now with your might. Let your mighty power just go into him and strengthen every part. Oh, rejuvenate, accelerate, and quicken his mortal body right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that he endures hardness as a good soldier. Hallelujah. Bless him, Father. Lord, let your mantle rest upon him. And Father, I pray, Lord, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will operate in the gap in the name of Jesus. Lord, let him be a key, Lord, that opens the door for the gifts of your Holy Spirit to operate. Let him see things, let him know things, Father, and let him say things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if you'd like hands laid on you tonight, just come on up and I'll lay my hands on you. Amen? And we'll just let God do whatever he wants to do. Because we got a room full of receivers tonight. You're a receiver. You are a divine carrier of God's goodness and grace and power. You're a vessel of honor. Meet for the master's use. That means the master can use you. He finds a use for you, a purpose for you. You're meet for his use, prepared unto every good work. You're a vessel of honor. Not something that... See, the devil tried to use you to throw you away. But God says, no, you're a vessel of honor. He refashioned and reformed you. He made beauty for ashes. It's giving you beauty for ashes. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that your word will take place. And Lord, that you will form the picture on the inside right now of how you see her. Oh, Lord, just let her know how you see her, who she is in you. In Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you for touching her with the power of your Holy Spirit right now. Fill her up, Father, full. Oh, hallelujah. Pour it in, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. You double your efforts and you double your results. Father, I thank you right now that their results are being doubled in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that supernatural increase on every level will occur, and it'll occur now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Oh, we just bless them right now, Father, and impart to them. Oh, impart to them, Lord. Pour it in. Hallelujah. Yeah, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Oh, hallelujah. And you add your family and you're multiplying into the millions. Glory be to God forevermore in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And if you just like me to, you just want to come and have me lay hands on you, just come on up. I don't necessarily have to go. I just felt impressed to do those things. Hallelujah. That God is here. Amen. So if you just want to come up and have hands laid on you, glory to God. Just come on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and get close to the seats there, just in case you fall that way. These are our unnamed ushers right here.
That works.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sukorobos sandala mama. Yes, Father, a deeper level. A deeper level. Depth, depth. He's taking deep calls unto deep. Shoo.